camps in Saudi Arabia, we had to do a topo map for each construction site. And on a 24 by 36 inch page, hand-drawn topo with a survey crew from the Sudan, you'd have no contour lines on a whole map because it wasn't any up or down. When the helicopter would drop you off, we had three kinds of camps we were going to build for Aramco, the Saudi Aramco oil company. We had an A camp, which was a half mile square, but a B camp that was a half mile by a mile, and a C camp that was a mile by a mile. Really difficult stuff. And they'd say, go out to GOSP 437. GOSP was a gas oil separator. The reason we were in the Saudi in those days was to build camp housing for the big guys, Fluors, Parsons, Daniels, all the big contractors, because the Saudis been flaring all the gas that came out of the ground with the oil since 1941. It was so bad when I got there in 73 that the choppers couldn't fly any higher than 500 feet off the ground. The soot layer from all these gas pits, they just run a pipe into a sand pit and then throw a flare in it and then go woof, that would burn for ever, as long as they were pumping oil. So we tried to take off early in the morning and get above the stuff if we're going any distance. I mean, it was awful. I don't know how those people lived over there.
Where were they flaring it?
They didn't know any better.
Oh.
The towel head, excuse me, our Arab brothers, all they wanted was oil. They hadn't figured out that there was a world market for natural gas. They didn't know about LNG. LNG is liquefied natural gas, which you get liquid by compressing natural gas, right? So in about 72, they contracted with two of the biggest shipbuilding companies in Japan, not America, to build these LNG tankers. And these were like 800-900 feet long. All they did was carry liquefied natural gas. So our job was to build all this housing. And we were one of the first of the EPC contractors, engineering, procurement, construction. I had 150 superintendents working for me. And we conducted our business in three languages. You know, a little bit of French with the Lebanese, a lot of Arabic and Korean. Because we had two of the biggest construction companies in the world on that job, Dae Lim and Hyundai out of Korea. Dae Lim got behind on pile driving because they were building this huge pipe rack out in the ocean where the tankers could come up and get loaded. And they fell way, way behind because it was just unmanageable. You work in the waterfront, I mean, they have a name for it over there called Subcup, which is sort of liquefied soil. You can drive over it once, but once you break the crust, you can't come back in the same tracks. And these guys were always stuck. Their mud mats were pushed out of sight. So the Korean guy running the deal calls his company and said, boy, we're screwed up. We're looking bad with the Americans. And two ships arrive over the horizon with nothing but combat engineers from Korea. They walked down the gangplanks, two by two by two. They ran those pile-driving rigs 24 hours a day for 4 months until they caught up. They go two by two by two back on their ship and went home. Probably the best they'd lived in many, many, many years. But that's what the Korean government did for their people. When we'd go out and sign a contract, you'd have to have a bid bond, right? And that's what prevented a lot of the American companies from getting as much work as was available. But after you bid $100 million jobs two or three times, and the first one isn't finished, and you're bidding on the fourth one, your bonding company's going, whoa, 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 whoa. When the Koreans bid on a job, the government wrote a letter of credit to the Saudi government. No bid bond, just go do it, you know, we'll pay for it. Anyway, having said all that, I've worked where there's no contour lines at all. It was really fun, because the helicopter dropped you off, and I had one of those walking wheels, you know, and they said, well, put a stake in the ground and go over a half mile, put another stake in the ground, go over here a mile and put a stake in the ground and put another. And the chopper come back and hit you in 3-4 hours. As soon as that chopper left, it got so quiet and you felt like you were standing in a saucer. Because everywhere you looked appeared to be uphill. And it wasn't, it was just dead flat. But there was no horizon out there. Just the heat shimmer and the dust, you couldn't see where the sky stopped and sand started. So we learned to do it without maps in that situation.
When you were making these topo maps, did they have total stations there for you, or were you just using a chain and a rod and a
Rod and three guys that were so black, they looked blue. I mean, these guys are from the Sudan. They spoke very good British English. And the guy had actual a mapping board on a tripod. Okay. And these guys are running out there, and they start surveying at about 4 a.m. because by 10, there was too much heat chamber. You couldn't see. You know, I mean, you look out there and all you're seeing is heat rise. So they surveyed from 4 a.m. till 9.
That's what I was wondering, if they did start thing
tonight. Hey, we're talking 70. You know, we didn't have any of that stuff. My instructions came from Holmes and Narver office in Orange by teletype. Ding, 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 ding. And you'd get in the office in the morning and 23 feet of paper tape is laid out on the floor. But I mean, we didn't have copy machines. We didn't have fax machines. We didn't have satellite phones. We got it done, you know, just took a little longer. But we weren't making that much money, so it wasn't like it was costing around. Anyway, back to the maps. As you look at a map and you're out on patrol, you always want to be looking for something that's recognizable, you know, something you can see. Now, because it's a high point, like here, doesn't mean you can see it from here, because sometimes if it's too close, you can't see up and over. But when you're on patrol out here, like Tribuco Canyon or some of these, you need to keep pay attention to where you are on the road roughly, because here's a, you know, a Tribuco Canyon, wow. Majestic Canyon, wow. But you ask the people who live out there, they know exactly where they are. They don't even have house numbers. You know, they call a county fire, and county fire goes, oh, you're next to Joe's house. Okay, we'll be right out. And that's good enough. But with all of us who don't know where Joe's house is, it's important that you can look on a map and know where you are. And again, let me say it again. Take a shot on a hilltop, a radio antenna, a tank farm, an oil well, and then subtract 180 degrees. That's the same as if you're standing there and shooting this way. Take another shot, subtract 180 degrees, because you're looking at the other side of the compass. And those degree wheels on your map, on your compass, this one doesn't have it. If you look at the numbers on your inner ring, that gets you around the horn at 360 degrees. For artillery, we use the outer ring, which are in mils. At 360 degrees is 6,400 mils. So we're getting down to the fine hairs now. But for artillery, you need it. For what we're doing here, you need to be in the ballpark.
Yeah, see, it's on the drawings. It shows the mils.
Yes, it does. And you can play with these maps. And you notice I put tape on them on the edges. Old construction trick I learned, you know. If you're in a construction shack and 400 guys a day are looking at the drawings, you better hardline the edges or you're going to be shredded pretty soon, and so on and so forth. So knowing what the compass will do, knowing what the map will do, it's just a matter of practicing enough to get yourself comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with this compass. This will do everything that the fancy ones do, and some people like these better, because you can see through them.
Yeah.
And you can actually align it on a north-south line just by looking through the map. But there aren't any north-south lines on auto club maps. Yes. But these are just fine. And for God's sakes, if you don't have a compass, don't spend too much money. This guy bought his on eBay. I bought two of those for $13 on Sportsman's Guide, and I've got that sighting if you want it. And at the time they had a sale on, so the freight was zero. So you should have a compass you're comfortable with. As long as you believe in the compass, you can be more than accurate enough to do what you need to do out in the dirt. You happy with it?
Yeah.
Okay. This one doesn't agree with that one. This one doesn't agree with his. this one probably should be surveyed in the trash can over there, but for $5, I don't know. Anyway.
Does it have an adjustment on the bottom?
Pardon?
Does it have an adjustment?
No.
Or calibration?
It's plastic. So it isn't going that like one of those. The use of the map is important that you do it often enough to know where you're going. And do it often enough that you feel confident when you pick up your mic and you call net control. You say, from my position at dum 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 dum. And you can give it to them in longitude, latitude. You can give it to them in grid square. You can give it to them in GPS if you have one that's working. And if you're just doing it by grid square, I mean they're all lettered and numbered. You can figure out where they are pretty easy. And you can call it in and say, I'm standing at the fork of Majestic Canyon and O'Neill Ranch Road. And they know, they can find that even on a flat map. And they said, I'm looking at two objects that locate me here, and at 270 degrees there's a smoke plume. And I'd like to have somebody check it out. As you remember, we're not allowed to go check it out. We're not supposed to pursue individuals lighting a fire. And we're not supposed to carry firearms. Wonder why. So we're there to observe, and what they want are more eyes out there. Now, with Orange County races, we never travel alone. Always two in a vehicle in case you break down, in case something happens. Your little radios, HTs, will work probably 80% of the places we go, because the four fire zones we patrol, one of them's up and down the 91 freeway. That's pretty tough. One of them is up and down Coast Highway from Seal Beach to San Clemente. That one's really tough. The only real frontiering is the backcountry, and there's a piece of backcountry in each of those maps. So let's pretend we're all out there in the dirt, and let me ask you some questions and see if we answer it. And if you don't answer it right, I've screwed up and we'll start over again. Hey, who's got the Yorba Linda map? Okay, you and Chris figure out. What's the elevation of the Carbon Canyon Dam spillway? Just keep it to yourself, but you need to agree on it. All three of you need to agree.
Top or the bottom?
The spillway?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be level. Line. Supposed to be level, remember? Seamanship 101. Okay, who's got Santiago Peak? All right, sir. What is the elevation of the end of the road in Majestic Canyon?
It's in the water.
Because the road changes name, so look at it carefully and don't be in a rush. Okay, that means you three guys, or four guys, have the El Toro map. This is a throwaway question. It's so easy. What's the elevation of the main runway at MCAS, Marine Corps Air Station, El Toro? Put that air chart away.
Just in case. The elevation at Majestic Canyon Road.
At the end of the road. The end of the road, it turns into a different road.
It's not on this here. It's not on this map.
And it's not easy to find. That's why I picked it.
It's going to be like just 3475.
And I hear it's 300. So this is the main run right here.
It used to be the main runway.
I think it's so. It's 300 here. And it's
300. Which end?
Huh?
Which end?
The runway?
Yeah.
Where they cross?
Where they cross. Okay. You've got these and you've got those.
Okay. Okay. So three.
You got the north and you got the east west. Right where they cross.
Right here.
That lucky is this one.
But that's what that is.
This is where they take off, and they would take off towards Sunnyside.